Tonight we're looking at Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Oh, I enjoyed both those songs tonight. That was good. To know that no matter how old you get in this life as a Christian, you're always going to be on the wheel. Amen? You never get to the place where the potter's finished with you. And when you do, it's probably when you know he can't use you anymore. Matthew chapter 18, we're going to look at verses 1 through 5 tonight. The Bible says, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for tonight. Help me now as I speak, Holy Spirit, again. I pray that you would guide the words that I say. Help the words I say to be your words and not mine. Help me to be a blessing and encouragement to all those that have come tonight. Thank you for your blessings on our church. Continue to be with our pastor. And Lord, we just look forward to a good time tonight as we enjoy each other and make memories that will last forever. We ask it in Christ's precious name. Amen. All right. You may be seated. Matthew chapter 18, verse 1 through 5. We see passages of Scripture concerning Christ and the disciples coming and asking concerning children. The message entitled tonight is, Don't Grow Up Too Fast. Don't grow up too fast. How many times have you ever told your kids, Don't grow up too fast? You know, nowadays, I mean, they start them off too stinking early. I mean, when I was in Nepal, I mean, they were putting them in school at 3 years old. It was, holy cow, give them a chance to be a kid, to enjoy themselves. You know, look, your kids are going to have to face enough problems and heartaches and trials when they get older. Don't let them have to face it while they're still a kid. But, you know, as adults, too, I think some of us have grown up too fast. You know, there's nothing wrong with being like a child. Amen? Now, for some of you, it's an everyday thing, but that's, you know. But no, look, there's nothing wrong with being like a child. There's a lot that we as Christians can learn from our children. We teach them, but at the same time, we can learn some things from them. Christ, it said here, you know, except you be converted and become as little children. Much of what a child does is very innocent and simple. Amen? A lot of things that they do, a lot of times they don't even think about it. Now, of course, you can't live life that way, right? You got to think about what you're doing. It's like, you know, working on a car. You have to think about what you're doing before you stick your hand in there while it's running. Amen? Brother Buell, you know that one, right? Huh? You know, when you're cooking, you have to think about it before you stick your hand close to the burner. Right? But as children, you know, they live life, they look at life a lot differently a lot of times as adults do. And yet, you know, when we get older, we forget about that. We forget about how we looked at life when we were a kid. Things get complicated. Our life gets complicated. And then we become so complicated that we become no effect to God. You ever think about that? Our life is too complicated. Simple. I like the simple things in life. Amen? Give me some fried potatoes with some eggs. I'm happy. Amen. You know, that's good stuff. Nowadays, I mean, you got to make you got to practically prepare 15 different courses just to satisfy somebody's, you know, belly. Things are too complicated in our world today. Tonight I want to talk about a few things. Actually, quite a few. I think there's only about 15 or 20. I'm not sure. I told my kids we'll be short and simple. Amen. But some things that we can learn are things that we can learn from our children. Some things that we see on a day-to-day basis that can help us as Christians, as adults. Things that we've forgotten along the way. What are some positive things I can learn from a child? Number one, enjoy the simple things of life. You know, it shouldn't take a whole lot to make you happy. If it takes a lot to make you happy, there's a problem. If you have to have this and have to have this and have to have this, you need to reevaluate a few things. The simple things in life should get you all excited. Not only should the simple things in life get you excited, it should make you very thankful. You know, kids, they're excited about the little things, the simple things. Today I filled up the candy jug over there in junior church. Well, you should have seen their faces when they saw it. And then, of course, we give these boxes of candy away for best boy, best girl. Well, I bought so many of them that covered the whole top of the piano. Yeah? Stick it out there. But the simple things in life. I don't have to throw a party for them. You know, they just like a little fruit snack. Amen? They enjoy the simple things. How about you? What makes you happy? What does it take to make you happy? Do you have to have a lot to make you happy? Are you satisfied with the little that God gives you? Because most of us don't have a lot. Amen? Now, I don't know about you, but I know me. Look, I enjoy this. I don't want to ever get past enjoying the simple things in life. I want my kids to learn that as they're young. So that when they get older, it doesn't take a lot to make them happy. Not only that, by learning the simple things in life, it's a lot easier for God to make you happy. Amen? When we are so complex and can't enjoy the simple things in life, it takes God a lot of time to get our attention to make us happy. And it shouldn't take hardly anything for Him to make us happy. Just the fact that He smiles at us once in a while should be enough. You say, God doesn't smile at you. Yeah, sure He does. You get up every morning. Amen? He allows you to get up. He allows you to go to work. He allows you to look at your kids. And look, how'd you like to be somebody who couldn't look at their children? I thought about that the other day. What if I could not see my children? I was looking at my granddaughter today. A little squirt. You know? She's just growing. She's only 3 months old. It's been exciting. I mean, my Alex, I didn't get to see her till she was two. And by that time, she's ready to go to school, you know? But, you know, it's been nice to look, you know, at my little granddaughter. I see my grandkids a couple days of the week when I'm not sleeping. They'll come over and I'll walk them to school. And what a blessing it is to be able to walk them to class. But just to see the looks on their faces when they look at you and they say, I love you. You know, the simple things in life, just the simple things of a touch from your wife or your children. You know, nowadays as husbands and wives, it takes a lot to make us happy. Amen? Some of us? A child, it don't take a lot to make them happy. They enjoy the simple stuff. As a husband or a wife, it shouldn't take a lot for your wife or your husband to make you happy. I told you about what my wife does for me. If I didn't, I'll tell you again. Every morning I get home, when I get home about 6 o'clock in the morning, I'll sit down in there in the living room with her. Actually, if she gets out of bed, I have to wake her up a lot of times. We'll have a cup of coffee. I'll sit and eat. That's kind of like lunch to me, you know, getting up in the mornings. But we'll sit and then I'll go get in bed. And I'll go sleep till about probably 2 or 30 or 3 o'clock. But the last thing that happens is when I get in bed, she comes in there, tucks me in, and gives me a kiss. Now, to some people, they think, well, you know, that's kind of silly. Hey, it's those kind of things to keep you married for 32 years. The simple stuff. It's not the complicated things in our marriage that's kept me with her. It's the simple things, the little things. The things that she notices, just, you know, I never think about. When I get out of bed, as soon as I get up, I got a cup of coffee ready. The little things. Enjoy the simple things in life. Be like a child in that area. Enjoy some simpleness of the simple things. Don't let your life get so complicated that it takes a lot to keep you happy. Amen? Not only that, they're friendly to everyone. You don't usually meet an unfriendly kid. It's just when they become adults, they learn how to be unfriendly. Yeah? Amen? They don't care who you are. Hey, as long as you're talking to them, they're happy. Let's go. Let's have some fun. You know, as we get older, we forget those things, and we sometimes we get a little cranky with each other. I mean, and not even just cranky. We just by the way we don't say something or by the way we look at people. A person should never come in this door and ever feel like they're unwelcome.
Amen.
Never. And I'm not talking about visitors. I'm talking about members of our church. I mean, I understand that some of us are not very sociable. I'm one of them. To be honest, I'm not a real sociable person. My ideal of, I'd rather be by myself and enjoy it. I have to make myself go and talk to people. You say, that's hard to believe. It is. No. I have to go talk to people. I have to make myself go talk to people. But I don't want anybody to ever think that I'm unfriendly. Now, they are always going to think I'm ugly, but unfriendly, no. Just a simple smile, just a simple shake of the hand, just a simple pat of the shoulder. You know, kids, I mean, everybody's a friend until you do them wrong. And for us, everybody's an enemy until they do you right. Isn't it amazing how that it works as an adult? We don't, and everybody's bad until they do something good for us. No, we shouldn't treat anybody that way. We should always be friendly to all those that come around. Whether they're Christian or non-Christian shouldn't make a difference. They're always friendly to everyone. Not only that, they're bold. You know those kids, how bold kids are? Man, I got a grandson. That little booger, he is something else. He's 6 years old. He's already running for president. Nothing fazes the kid. I mean, he's wanting to do anything and everything. He doesn't have any fear. He's just as bold as can be. What happened to us as adults? We lost it somewhere along the way, amen? Where did we lose our boldness? They don't mind talking to people. They'll go up and talk to strangers. They'll talk to anybody and everybody. As a kid, they don't care about telling people about Christ. You know, they'll go up and tell somebody about Christ and won't even faze them. They won't even think about it. They don't look at they don't see that person. They see the need. Even as a child. So many times, we're not bold enough. Amen. We allow what goes on around us to intimidate us. To cause us to be afraid. Who are you afraid of? Are you afraid of the world? Are you afraid of the people around you? Are you afraid of the devil? Huh? He's quiet in here. I know, brother. Should we just bless the food and go on? Okay. All right. They're bold. They get out there and they're not afraid to do anything. And yet, when we become adults, we start getting, as they call it, more reserved. It's not fear. It's not intimidation. It's called reserved. Oh. Good job. One second. Is there a janitor in the house? Miss Renee? Oh, God, the bottle's running. My nose is running. I don't know. I'm hoping there's nothing else running. Amen. Oh. Okay. But when we get older, we lose that boldness. You know how I know that? All I have to do is go into church and watch what people do for the cause of Christ. And I can tell that they've lost their boldness. The less you do is a good indication that you're not bold enough. Most times people don't do stuff because they're afraid of rejection. They're afraid of failure. They're afraid of criticism. Hey, who cares? If it's for Jesus, you just keep on moving. You know, don't worry about it. No matter what you do for God, if you do anything for God, you're always going to face criticism. And sad to say, even from other Christians. Because they're convicted of the fact that you're doing what they're not doing. Right? So be bold. Not only that, they're very forgiving. You know, isn't it amazing how fast a kid will forgive you? You do something, they get all upset at you, give them a piece of candy, you're the best thing in the world. Wouldn't it be nice if that's all it took to make us that way? Can you imagine when other people, other adults do us wrong? They just give us a piece of candy and we'll think, hey, you're great. We don't do that kind of stuff, do we? It takes an act of Congress to get us to say, you're forgiven. Some of us, amen. They're very forgiving, no matter what you do to them. And their anger doesn't last very long. I mean, they get angry, and you don't see a kid being angry for a week. They'll get angry at their best friend, and you know, and they'll spend the night pouting over it and saying what a rotten friend they are, and then the next morning they're best buds again. They're easy to forgive, and we as adults need to learn to remember what it was like as a child and to be that way. You know, if we practiced what children practice in the area of forgiveness, we'd never have a lot of problems in our church. Get over it. If you got a problem with somebody, take care of business, get over it, and get on with life. People are going to do you wrong. You got to understand that. In life, people are going to do you wrong. I mean, I've been a Christian, like I said, for almost 33 years now. And I can't even count how many times Christians have done me wrong. But I don't stop doing what I'm doing and slow down and back off just because people do me wrong. I get on with life. Hey, look, people make mistakes. They do things wrong. Forgive them and go on. But you just don't understand, Brother Ortez, that it's just unforgivable. Yeah, and your sin was unforgivable. But yet you're on your way to heaven. Do you realize how many times we disappoint Christ? How many times we disappoint God? And how many times He says, you're forgiven? We disappoint Him on a day-to-day basis, but yet He looks at us as if nothing ever happened. And a child is like that. A child, so many times, when things happen to them, they're just like, oh, okay, no problem. All right, we're good now. Let's go on with life. Very forgiving. Not only that, they are very forgetful. Yes, they are. Amen? They forget things real easy. Especially the rules. Now, that's not something you need to learn as an adult, okay? Remember the rules. But they forget things very easy. In other words, when things happen to them, bad things happen to them, they don't dwell on it. A lot of times as Christians, we are hindered because of our constant dwelling on the negative, the bad that has happened to us. We get in that woe is me attitude. Amen? Look, I tell folks, bad things are going to happen. You might as well build a bridge and get over it. Build a bridge and help somebody else cross the bridge going through the same problem. You know, life is too short to dwell on the past. Life is too short to dwell on the negative, to all the stuff that burdens us down. They're forgiven. Not only that, they have great faith. A child has great faith. They'll believe you. If you tell them something, they're going to believe you. It's so easy for children to trust you because they believe you. If you say you're going to do something, they know you're going to do it. Yeah, we as Christians, as adults, when we get up there, we have a harder time trusting God than our children have trusting us. Amen? And yet, we're imperfect and He's not. Faith. They have great faith. I mean, faith is not a complicated thing. It doesn't take great men and women to have great faith. It just takes men and women to trust a great God. Great faith comes by simply trusting and believing. So many times we read the Bible, and we do. We look at these men of faith, Abraham and all these guys, and we think, you know, I can never be like them, but yes, you can. You just got to trust them, trust God like they did. So they have great faith. So they enjoy simple things. They're friendly to everyone. They're bold, forgiving, forgetful, and have great faith. Now, what are some things that we should not learn from our children? And now the kids are like, oh, no. Oh, no. All right. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, very familiar verse with Paul speaking to the church at Corinth. He says to him here, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, I don't think Paul was referring to the things that I was talking to about before, the simple things, the friendly, the bold, forgiving, forget. But there are some things that we should put away as we become adults that we learn from our children. And actually, they learn from us, sad to say. But number one, some of the things we can put away from that we can learn not to do, the negative things from a child, is selfishness. Children are very selfish. Amen? Most kids are very selfish. It's me, my, I, and all the rest of it. Amen? Look at Romans chapter 13, verse number 8. Romans chapter 13, verse number 8, the Bible says, "For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle?" And I don't think that's the verse I'm looking for. That's 14:8. Sorry. Back up one. 13:8, "Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away." Charity never faileth. Selfishness. We are to be charitable, not selfish. Amen? Selfish. Kids can be very selfish. Yet we as adults can be selfish also. You say, how? One, by our time. Look, when the church is open, you should be here. I'm with preacher on that one, 100%. Every time the doors are open, be here. When you don't come because of certain things, look, it's usually because of selfishness. That's usually the main reason why you're not in church. You just don't want to. Well, I don't want to do a lot of things. But when it comes to God, I cannot be selfish. Because He was unselfish in so many ways towards me. Kids want their way. Selfishness causes us to want our way. You see it in the church a lot. Adults, a lot of times, are worse than the kids. They want their way. They want it done their way. They want things like this. They're not going to participate unless you do this. They're not going to be a part of that activity unless this happens. Well, that's a bunch of hogwash. Who cares? Enjoy. Enjoy each other. Enjoy the things of God. Enjoy the fellowships. Enjoy the ministries that go on in this church. Don't exclude yourself because it's not done the way you think it ought to be done. You come over to junior church, you follow me around enough, you're going to find out there's some things that I do. You probably don't like it that way. You wouldn't do it that way. I know these men like Brother Wall and Brother Buell and, well, Charles, I don't care about. These men, when they see me and the way I do things over in junior church, I'm sure probably somewhere inside they're probably thinking, you know, if I was in charge, I'd probably do it this way. But they don't not come just because I don't do it the way they do it. They come, they help, and I appreciate all their help. You know, as Christians, a lot of times we don't do is because we want things done a certain way. We're selfish. We want it to be the way we want it to be. We want it to work the way we want it to work. We want things to go the way that we plan them to go. Well, look, in life, as a Christian, you got to be flexible because not everything's going to go the way you want it to go. Not everything's going to be exactly the way you want it. Just go with it. Huh? We don't have time to try to get our way. We need to get Christ's way. Amen? We need to help people see Christ. And by being selfish, it's hard for them to see Christ and not see us. Yeah. Something else we don't want to learn from a child, and that's how to be proud. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. We have a lot of proud Christians in our church. And I'm not saying that pride is a bad, bad thing, but in a lot of ways it is. You know, it's all right to be proud that you're a dad. Okay? I'm proud that I'm a dad. I've got 7 children. I'm not afraid to. Now, I get teased about it at work all the time. I mean, I don't know how many times people told me I should have been fixed a long time ago. Stupid people. Look, I'm proud to be a dad. I'm proud to have 7 children. Every time I look at them, my chest pops out. I'm excited. I see my kids, except for Joshua. I see my kids. Man. No, I tell you, even Joshua is coming along. He's getting there. Look, I had 7. Some of them were a little slower than the others, but no. Joshua, I mean, he's the baby. He's the baby of the family. But some of the things that's been here lately, I've been noticing a lot of things. He's starting to mature very well. And he's starting to grow into a young man. I look at him, he's starting to hold his shoulders up, like Mama tells him. Mama's always telling him, hold his shoulders up. And the boy looks like a rock. You know? He's getting bigger. Not fat. I mean, just getting bigger. And he's muscled. And I'm thinking, boy, I tell you, he's going to be following me around one day. I can't wait. You know, he's going to be my bodyguard. Nobody's going to mess with me because I'll say, look at my son. Yeah. But no. When he gets in there in that kitchen, he gets in there in the kitchen a lot of times. He likes to cook. And some of the stuff he makes, boy, it's really good. And so when I watch him and I see the stuff that he prepares with his own hands at 13 years old, I'm thinking, man, that's my son. You know, it's all right to be proud about things. But a lot of times, pride will also be the death of us. It'll also cause us to be ineffective for Christ. Proverbs 8, verse 13, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Pride, that part of you, that part that causes you to exclude yourself from a lot of things because you think you're too good to do that. Yeah. You see trash on the floor, pick it up. Have mercy, it ain't going to hurt you. But a lot of times we pass by things. We don't do stuff around the church because, you know, that's, you know, below me. And it's like in life, when you're taking care of your family, when you're working and things, there's so many things that we as people will not do because, you know, that's just below me. I worked McDonald's for 7 months. I was 13 years on a mission field, reaching a country for Christ, build a church, build a Bible college to come back and work at McDonald's. Woohoo! How do you like that? Cleaning toilets and tables. But look, you do whatever it takes to get things done. Even if it means getting your fingers dirty, even if it means people looking at you in a negative way. Look, you do whatever it takes to get the job done, whether it's in your own life or in the cause of Christ. I remember one time one of our customers came out of McDonald's there and says, sir, I think you need to go check the men's bathroom. It's a little bit dirty. And you always love it when customers let you know that the bathrooms are dirty. I went in there, and I went into the one big stall. And I thought, oh, Lord, it's Coistel all over again. How many of you ever heard the story of Coistel? Someone? When Coistel was just a little one, we were on furlough. One morning I got up, smelled the smell of coffee. No, it wasn't coffee. Anyway, I went into the one end of the trailer, and she had messed in her diaper, and she had gotten it everywhere. Not only had she gotten it everywhere, she decided to learn how to finger paint at such a young age. It was a mess. It took me almost an hour and a half to clean that bed up and everything around, the windows and the curtains and all the other stuff. Well, I went into the bathroom after that gentleman told me that it needed to be clean, and it reminded me of Coistel. I thought, I went in there and I'm like, you know, you just want to walk away, amen? Yeah, it was rough. I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was a kid. I don't know if it was an adult. But somebody got in there, and they had the worst aim in there. I thought, man, all you have to do is sit down, and you can't miss it, okay? As long as you sit where the hole is, you're good. But whoever it was got in that bathroom, I don't know if they were blind or what. They missed that hole so many times. I'm in there cleaning it, and all these customers are coming in, and they're watching me and everything, and they're like, boy, it sucks to be you. You know, that's a favorite one. I'm thinking, yeah, thank you. Hey, you want a rag? No. But they're like, oh, man, what happened? I'm like, if I knew that, I wouldn't be in here, amen? If I knew that, I could have prevented it. I could have helped that person find the hole. But, I mean, it was bad. Pride will keep you from doing a lot of things for the cause of Christ and even in your own life because you think it's below you. What are you willing? I mean, what price are you willing to pay in order to see a world come to Christ? Are you willing to humiliate yourself in order to bring somebody to Jesus? You know, pride kills us a lot of time in our churches in that area because we're not willing to do a lot of things because let somebody else take care of that. Somebody else is better suited for that job. How many times have you ever heard that? I think so-and-so would be better at that job. Well, how do you know? You should never ask anybody else to do something that you yourself are not willing to do also. And that's what gets us in trouble with our pride. So many times we want to tell people or ask people to do other jobs that we ourselves are not willing to do. When's the last time you changed a diaper? That's, well, yeah.